That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Podcast. What's up, guys? Welcome to the I Don't Get It podcast. It's Naz,
Lauren,
Ashley,
and this is a special episode of the I Don't Get It podcast because I am bringing Heartbroken Anonymous to the podcast. Ashley had a good idea. She has the story of us, which is obviously stories of how people meet. And then I have Heartbroken Anonymous, which is people sharing stories of how they break up. So we got you covered in the beginning and the end of your relationship. So it's really cool. This one woman that came to the group is going to share her story, but I'll preface that when she calls in. But first, we obviously have to talk about I Don't Get It. And I actually want to bring up something that you guys were just on the phone with your mom. And it reminded me of an I Don't Get It. Bless you, Lauren. And I hate when I like talk to my dad and I tell my dad something and then I call my mom later that day or talk to her and she's like, your dad didn't tell me that. And it's like, I expect like when I tell one of my parents something that they just know automatically right away.
Also, you would think that I'm important enough to be talked about when I'm not there. You know, that's why I'm like, my eye's not important to you enough.
What about when you tell one of them something and then the other one gets offended that you didn't tell them? And you're like, well, that's because I assumed that you would tell.
Yeah. Do your parents, my parents don't get offended. They like, but yours
does,
right?
Mom would be like,
right?
Why did you email dad that and you didn't email it to me? So I'm like, funny. Because I forgot what your email is. Because my mom had, you know, she changes her emails.
And I also don't get how people sleep in bras. Those are my two. I don't get
okay,
it today.
So I also saw something on the Facebook group yesterday about people sleeping with socks on, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lauren likes sleeping
and
with socks
I must
on.
Sleep with socks on. And this is like so it. Funny because this one girl who like started, I think, in the Facebook group was like, I sleep with socks on because I used to have nightmares that people would tickle my feet.
Oh, my God.
Shut the
Lauren.
Fuck up.
And I go, I wear socks for that very reason. I was terrified that people or like some witch under my bed was going to come and tickle my feet. Not murder me, but tickle my feet.
Yeah. This is like a real thing. Like Lauren used to talk about it like weekly when she was little about the feet tickling. And I riddle me this. Wouldn't the comforter prevent that if the socks were going to prevent
nope,
that?
You're not safe because it takes a lot more effort to take off the sock than just like go under the comforter. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I still wear socks to this day.
Wait, that's so funny.
I will only do it when my feet are freezing and I'm going to bed and then I rub them together.
Lauren, me, and my dad all rub our feet together as we're falling asleep.
It's like a rocking to sleep sort of thing, slash warming.
Like
our feet.
Rub both your feet.
Yes. Also, yes. Tell me if this is really weird. Sometimes if I'm hooking up with a guy, I'll like kind of rub my feet together. Or at least like on the couch or on the bed or something.
Not with him, just yourself.
Not on him, but like
no, I'm saying not like your feet with his feet.
No.
Your own feet.
No,
or
I would never
couch.
Do that.
I don't do that.
But maybe you should notice that. Maybe you do.
Definitely don't.
Lauren and I call them foot boners. Not from that. That's not a foot boner.
Wait, what's a foot boner?
But Lauren and I have also something that we call a foot boner on another topic.
If we see something we like, it could be food, it could be a man, our feet automatically go bing.
And then they're like really stiff and up in the air.
Wait, you guys, that is the greatest term I've ever heard. Like, that's so true. Everyone's toes
do
get really
do that.
Yes.
I don't do it often.
But your
but
hands
there are,
get boners.
There are certain things where I'm like,
yeah, yes. Your hands do get boners.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah, you got hand boners.
Wait, I get finger
so
boners.
Yes. Lauren and I will be watching something on TV,
wait,
and then all of a sudden we'll look over.
Usually drive-ins or dives.
Yeah, and then we'll like totally, and we look over at each other, and our feet are just like up in the air. And we don't even
for
know.
Seeing a cheeseburger.
We're like excited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, you know what I do? I just noticed I curl mine down.
Okay, so that's a different variation.
My feet, like that? Yeah, okay. Like my hands go up, but I like curl my feet down when I'm really excited.
Oh, that was
and
funny.
I always think people think I'm like kind of semi like something's wrong with me because when I get really excited, I don't know how to describe this. I go like this, you guys. I'm like,
no, yeah, I know. That's like, cute. That's cute though.
Yeah, but like I'm 28 now.
I know.
And I'm like randomly like going. So the motion I'm doing, everyone listening, is like I put both of my hands in between my thighs and then I like lift my feet a little
and
then I crouch down like Quasimodo and I go, ee!
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I think that's adorable. I hope you keep that until you're 70.
Yeah, so embarrassing.
But wait, go back to the sock thing again and the bra thing.
Let's go around. How do you guys sleep, Ashley? You first.
Underwear and a t-shirt. Okay. And no socks, but unless my feet are freezing. And then if I do fall asleep with socks on, normally in the middle of the night, my feet feel like they're suffocating. So then I take them off.
Yeah.
Do yours feel like they're suffocating?
They used to until I realized I really can't, you know, expose myself to the witch under the bed. And I keep the socks on all night.
This is so funny.
Yeah. So funny.
How do you sleep, Lauren?
I wear a full sweatsuit and socks.
It's so weird.
I will have to be suited up.
Don't you feel like your legs, like the material in your legs is getting all twisted up?
No. And it's also like if the covers fall off, I'm still like covered.
It's a very fair question, Ashley.
Yeah, because that's why I don't wear pants to bed because everything gets tangled.
No, nothing gets tangled.
But I like pajama sets. I'm such a pajama set.
You are like such a girl who like goes to bed kind of cute.
I don't know why, but I fucking love pajamas.
Do you like
I love
silk?
Silky. Ugh. I like the silky ones. I like the cotton ones in the winter. I like them to be matching. I like them to be long sleeve and plaid. But then if I'm not doing that, how weird is this? I like to sleep like literally naked, like just underwear.
That's very healthy for you.
So actually. Just underwear.
I would sometimes do that. I would sometimes do it with no underwear even. Like if Lauren wasn't here at night. Because if she was, I wouldn't. But here's the thing.
But you walk around in undies.
Yeah, but I'm saying like totally naked. I've slept totally naked before. Uh-huh. Just like when I'm at the place alone. Uh-huh. And
do you like it or no?
No, because one, I have anxiety that if somebody like knocks on the door or comes into the apartment in the middle of the night, I'll be like, "Wah!" like, and I'll be more scared about being naked in front of a burglar than actually getting burglarized.
Oh my God, so dumb.
And then
but also, so is the witch under the bed.
Yeah.
All of
so,
our shit's
so
dumb.
Silly, actually. And then the second reason is, well, I was once recently in the past year shown like this short film of a spider crawling up a girl's vagina in the middle of the night and then laying eggs in her and then all the spiders come out of her vagina. So ever
is this
since,
real? Or?
No.
It's like sci-fi. But now whenever I get in bed without any underwear on, I go, spiders. And then I have to go
it's
get
terrifying.
Them.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
See, I like sleeping completely naked, I like sleeping with underwear on, but I feel like I need to be sleeping completely naked sometimes because everyone says your vagina has to breathe.
And that's what my gyno said like
breathable
literally 2 weeks ago.
You guys, breathable MeUndies, you know? MeUndies.
But have you ever, when you do sleep with no underwear on, your vagina is so happy.
I don't know.
It's
it
so
feels
free.
Like super dry.
Okay, excuse me. This is me too. TMI, but mine's definitely not dry. Like, it gets like really,
mine
really
never gets
juicy.
Dry.
Really juicy.
Mine gets a little bit too airy.
But it's probably because of our dreams, Lauren.
Another thing.
My dreams of being heartbroken anonymous.
You guys, if you're hooking up with a guy, speaking about like nakey and like liking underwear, I always feel sexier in a bra. When they take off your bra,
I hate when a guy takes off my bra.
I'm like, I'm not hot anymore. I look like a little girl.
I know. No, yeah. I don't think that. I'm just like, they're way perkier.
They're
in
way
the bra.
Prettier in
just
the bra.
Just leave them in there. Speaking of breathable underwear, let's take a hot second to talk about something we all love to wear but hate to shop for, and that's underwear, you guys. You want to look good in your undies and be comfortable, right? So don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies. They're the perfect balance. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month they have new and exciting prints, and they arrive right at your door in a really fun bag.
MeUndies uses lensing micromodal in their underwear.
What is that?
It's sustainably sourced, which is so important to the environment. The lensing soft fiber starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabric you've ever experienced. The results have been downright dreamy. Because you're wearing them. while you sleep.
Ooh, that's right. You guys know how much I love MeUndies. I talk about it naturally all the time. Their adventures, prints, and designs are all limited edition, and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. I love checking out the new styles and patterns that can't be found anywhere else.
And MeUndies has an exclusive offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so sure that you guys are going to love their underwear that they offer an 100% satisfaction guarantee. And if you guys don't love your first pair, you get a full refund.
This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off a pair of the most comfortable underwear in the entire world. To get 20% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/get it. That is MeUndies, MeUndies.com/get it.
Oh my God, you guys, I haven't even given you this update.
What?
Lately, I've been getting sensation through my nips.
Oh my God, it comes with age. It comes with your birthday.
I think, what's his name, just knows what he's doing now.
Wow.
It's now he knows?
I don't know. I guess we just didn't play around with that area that much.
Yeah, you're like, don't even do it. Nothing happens.
I don't know. I felt something and I was like, I got to Ashley and Lauren.
That's amazing.
I know. I felt something tingle down there.
I was excited through my nipples. I was so excited. But so, he was like, hold. This is so
TMI. I'm like really imagining.
He was holding the nip and like flicking. I don't know. He was like, I don't know. He
okay,
like,
so question.
Watched a YouTube tutorial maybe.
Did it just feel nice up here? Like, ooh, warm. Like, it's
no, down there.
You felt something in your cha-cha as he touched your.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Crazy?
That is crazy.
I was really excited about
that.
I'm
going to ask Jack to flick my nipples.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's,
could you hold my nipple and flick it?
Misto, will you flick this area right here?
Funny. That's really funny. God.
Anyways. So
funny. What was the other, I don't get it, other than the socks?
Sleeping with the bra.
Sleeping with a bra. That's the original question.
People say that like you should sleep with a bra on because it keeps your boobs up.
My mom has slept with a bra for like 50 years.
My mom hasn't been braless.
The fuck.
Yeah, in about 50 years.
You guys, how in the fuck? Like, it is so comfortable to not have a bra on for me.
I used to feel the opposite. I used to feel, okay, it depends on the bra. But I used to feel like, I don't know what I was going to say. When I was little, I was like, I don't even know why people want to walk around without a bra on. It's so much more comfortable with the bra, with the support. And I still understand that sometimes like walking around in the middle of the day. But if you're just lounging and especially in bed, you can't wear a bra because then you really start sensing it. But only when I'm lying. So yeah, bottom line, when I'm walking around during the day doing anything, like having a little bit of a bra on. When I'm in bed or on the couch, I can sense it more. So no thank you in bed. Lauren?
Thank you in bed. I think it all depends on the boob size. I don't really notice when I have one on or when I don't.
Well, Lauren also doesn't have any breast tissue. It's a whole other topic.
I never want to wear a bra, whether I'm out or in bed, ever. I hate them.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't feel like jiggly?
No, look, I literally feel so free right
now.
They look
really good.
I don't have a bra on. I don't. Maybe it's because mine aren't as big as yours, Ash, and they don't. I'm sure
bigger than mine.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. I hate having one on. I also, how weird is this? Randomly heard that Aries, like my horoscope sign, love being comfortable. Like that's a thing. And I feel like that's true. Like I don't know. I just have to be comfortable. I hate jeans.
That's true. Sweat. I was literally thinking before. You don't wear jeans, really.
I know. I
don't even know what you look like in jeans.
I do. You have one pair of jeans that you wear.
I know
what you look like, but you don't do it often. I think it's because my nipples are pointier than yours.
Yes. Maybe. She can't because you don't have pointy nipples. And has pointy nipples.
So I always wear nipple covers no matter what.
Yeah, but you should wear a shirt with your nips pointy. I feel like that's so cool.
They're too pointy.
In like 1990. Okay, anyway.
Let's pause a sec so we can tell you about a real game changer when it comes to jeans.
Jeans.
Do you have a hard time finding the perfect fitting / flattering jeans that are also comfortable?
That is true.
I did until I found True Religion.
True Religion believes that no matter what your body type or your style, there's a true fit for you. The website is so easy to use and navigate too, and you'll see when you go there that fit is their focus.
You guys, I'm not even joking when I say this. I cannot be happier and more satisfied when I got my jeans. The fit is spot on and the look is exactly what I wanted. It looked so good on my body, guys, and my butt looked amazing. And I know that they're going to wear well over time because the fabric is made softer so that the jeans keep shape and don't fade, which is crucial.
True Religion doesn't offer just jeans, but jackets, dresses, t-shirts, and accessories. Are you ready to get the perfect fitting, most comfortable, most flattering pair of jeans? Right now, True Religion is giving our listeners 20% off your entire purchase when you go to truereligion.com/get it. Enter our code get it at checkout. So do what I did and go to truereligion.com/get it and enter my code get it at checkout for 20% off your entire order. And let me just say, I got a 2 pairs of True Religion jeans when I was in 10th grade, and I still wear them today. They are that durable, everyone. Okay, what's up next?
That was good input, Lauren.
Thanks.
All right, guys, great, fascinating conversation to the topic of the episode. So obviously, I'm assuming everyone listening to this knows about Heartbroken Anonymous. If you don't and you're just listening to this for the first time, it's a support group that I started for people that are heartbroken, and it's basically like AA, but for people that are heartbroken. And so we really felt like the whole premise of the support group is to make people feel like they're not alone and to share their story of heartbreak in a non-judgmental space. And so when I was talking to Ashley and Lauren about this, we all figured it'd be really cool to have someone share their story on the podcast to reach even more people. So if you're heartbroken right now, maybe you could relate to this story just to know you're not alone, whether or not you're going through the same thing or not. So yeah, this woman is amazing. I found her through the group and she was willing to come onto the podcast. Obviously the group is anonymous, so I don't think she's going to share her name. But yeah, we thought it'd be interesting for you guys to hear her story. So we're going to give her a call. Okay, everyone. So we have my friend on the line now who will introduce herself and share her story with us.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I'll try to give kind of like a concise timeline because I don't want to ramble.
No, of course
so
not.
So first off, I'll say I'm...
Go ahead.
So first off, I'm 38 and I'm from LA. And I grew up in LA, went to school in Chicago, and then went to grad school in Wisconsin, went to Japan, spent some more time in LA, went back out of the country, and I've been in LA since about 2013, 2014. So I think one thing that's kind of unique, like when you live in a different state or you live in a different country, it's kind of hard to get on your roots. And so I think to some extent, I kind of felt, quote unquote, victim to that. And it became really clear as I hit my 30s, like I need to work on relationships, not only romantic relationships, but, just all kind of relationships. So I actually made it a pretty firm goal of mine in 2016 to meet someone. And I'm not against online dating, speed dating, anything like that. So I tried online dating and I met someone who I felt was a really good fit for me. He was very open and very honest and very transparent about what was going on in his life. And one thing that, one thing in particular was he was in the process of getting a divorce. So me kind of being the person who's like, you know, let me just throw caution to the wind and go for it. That's what I did. And I think in a relationship, you kind of have to be vulnerable and take those risks, even if they seem non-traditional. And I knew that I would not get a lot of support by getting involved with someone who was still married and also had 2 children. But I did it anyways. And I think the first couple of months, we worked very well with each other. Everything seemed fine. There were little red flags that popped up here and there. And like in any relationship, I think when you see a red flag, you don't automatically dismiss the person, but you know, your gut tells you, I'm not sure about this one, or I'm not sure how to really manage it. So 3 months into the relationship, we just had, I don't know how to say it, but it was just issues with time. He, like I said, he was still in the process of getting a divorce. His children were still kind of getting used to the idea that their parents were not together. They were living apart. They were not living in the same household. And then I was in the picture. And as each month progressed, it just became more and more difficult for the relationship to stick and to really make sense for his life. And I think most women, they know when something is off. And I knew that something was off. And I have journal entries, you know, back in April and May and June, you know, telling me, like, this is not right. It's not working. But I wouldn't say that I was desperate, but I wanted to really, really give it my all and give it my best. So I stuck with it. And it wasn't until the summer, pretty much the end of August, when he said, you know what, it's not working. It's not going to work. And I don't know when it's going to work. And by then, we had already said, I love you. We had already put a wedding date, you know, in the future. And I had already got fully wrapped into the relationship, even though I knew that it wasn't built on a firm foundation. So I was devastated. When we broke up, I was at work, and it was really interesting. I was at work. I'm at the sleep brief, and I do a meditation group. So I was getting ready to do the meditation group, and I couldn't find the blankets that I used for the group were in this cabinet. So I went to open the cabinet, and it wouldn't open. And I'm tugging on it, and it wouldn't open. And then I saw someone who I worked with, and she just looked at me. I looked at her, and that was it. Like, I snapped. I had a fight. I was just crying. I was crying. I was hysterical. And nobody knew what was going on. They're just like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I talked to my supervisor, and I said, I can't get the blankets out. And she's like, okay, let me help you. Turns out the cabinet wasn't locked. You know, I just needed to tug it a little bit more. And she said, you want me to do the group? And I said, no, I can do it, but after that, I need to go home. And I did the group, and then I talked to my supervisor, and I said, look, you know, I'm having some personal issues. I really didn't tell him exactly what's going on. And he said, fine, you can go home. And so I went home, and of course, I cried. And then the next day, I stayed home, too. No, it was a lot, you know. Even though the relationship was only, you know, 7 months or so, it was still very heavy for me. It was still very real. And I think, you know, I didn't realize until then how big of an impact that 7 months had on me. So moving forward, you know, I find the group, and I think it was a week. I think the group was a week after I saw the thing on the ground, and then I went. And you know, one thing I've learned is it's really important not to keep things bottled up. I think at this point, you know, I believe in sharing and saying how you feel and being honest and open with your feelings. And I think it's important to be mindful who you tell and who you talk to, because not everybody is going to be very supportive. And, you know, I knew that all the while, all the months that led up to the breakup, I was telling my friends what was going on. And, you know, a lot of them are just like, you know, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? What are you thinking? You're dealing with a married man who has kids. Of course, he's, mm-hmm. you know, this could be years and years and years. And, you know, I was embarrassed. You know, I was really embarrassed after everything happened. And I wasn't really quick to tell everyone that essentially I got dumped. You know, I remember my mom asking, oh, what are you going to do for the holidays? And she's going to go out with you know, your boyfriend. And I said, you know what? No, we're not spending any time with each other. And she said, you know, I'm not going to say anything. So, I, you know, you guys really don't have a lot of time. You guys haven't really spent a lot of time with each other. And I said, well, you got me, so you don't have to worry about that again. And that's all I want to say about that. And I had really good conversations with other people about the breakup.
Sorry, we got chat for a second about Ritual. Forget everything you thought you knew about vitamins. Ritual is the subscription-based brand that's reinventing the experience with 9 essential nutrients that women lack the most. I choose Ritual because I think it's really important to take an omega-3 supplement, and this is literally the only one that I found that actually tastes good. It's like yummy peppermint, and it doesn't have you burping all that nasty fish aftertaste or making your tummy feel bad.
Vitamins literally just because of that reason.
Yeah,
Ritual helps me check all the boxes so that I know that I'm getting the nutrients that I personally need, and knowing that those nutrients are vegan, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, allergen-free, and made in the USA without synthetic fillers or colorant. So that makes me feel good, and I just like to know that I'm spending my money on something that's good for me.
Visit their website, you guys, and you'll learn everything from why each ingredient is beneficial to where it's sourced. If you're ready to invest in your health, do what I did and go to ritual.com/get it. Your future self will thank you for taking Ritual. Consider it your lifelong health 401k, and all you have to do is put in $1 a day. Think about how much you already spent on food. Why put anything but clean ingredients backed by real science into your body? Go to ritual.com/get it.
I think what's part of your journey that was so relatable and inspiring was kind of like, you know, the aftermath of like, trying to get over someone and pick yourself back up, but obviously still being like really hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
also like having it being 7 months and people like poo pooing how long it was, mm-hmm. even though it meant so, so much to you.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you were planning, you had like a date to get married and all that.
Yeah, it was, it was real, you know, it, this is only, so again, I'm 38. This is only my second quote unquote boyfriend. Mm-hmm. That in of itself is, I mean, I feel embarrassed just saying that, but thinking about this, I mean, I tried to think about everything that I wanted in a relationship, everything that I wanted in a partner, you know, and I gave it my all, but I was, oh my God. I mean, there were just some days where, you know, like just, I went to work, you know, but there were some days where I would just be sitting at my desk and I would just start bawling. And, or I'd be sitting at my desk and I would just drift out, just kind of like a zombie. And that took, I mean, that was months, you know, months and months of doing that. And every week, like they say, you know, it gets better week by week. Mm-hmm. But there were things that I stopped doing, you know, in the beginning. I'm doing these, you know, quote unquote drive-bys. Let me drive by the house and just let me just see if he's there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
we've
silly,
all done drive-bys.
But it's just another.
I know.
You know, it's so silly, but it's just another way to be attached and to kind of feel like you have a little bit of control. But you know, as we all know, it's silly. It's counterproductive.
Yeah.
And
stop looking
doesn't
at their
do anything
profile.
Except, yeah, that. So that took me about a month or two to stop looking at the Instagram, delete the Facebook, and stop doing the story so he could look at my story and see what I was doing mm-hmm. with my life and see how cool my life is now that, you know, he's not in it, you know, mm-hmm. that all took time. And my whole thinking was my feelings are going to be up and down, but if I can manage my actions, then I think my feelings will kind of come into play. So just like any habit, just kind of changing it. So, but that again, that took time. And it took me, God, it took me, I'd say like 4 or 5 months to go a whole day and not actually think about him, right? Mm-hmm. So those first couple of months, you know, I'm thinking about him every, you know, shoot, every minute all day. And then, you know, after like month 3 or 4, like it'd be noon and I'm like, oh, I haven't thought about him until noon. And
that's
then,
impressive.
You know,
that's very good.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like 5 o'clock and now I'm finally thinking about him. So yeah, I'm trying to think what else is.
I mean, that's all. It's like some people don't realize what people go through when you are heartbroken, and it takes like such a toll on like your health. I know, mm-hmm. for me, like I was having nightmares every month, so I wasn't like getting any sleep. Can you kind of talk about how you like found the group and like what, you know, what that experience like was for you, the group?
Yeah, I was out in the arts district, and I was just walking around. It sounds so silly. I was just walking around because I was just so sad, you know. And I didn't want to. I thought I'm gonna cry. Like I didn't want to stay at home and just. I feel sorry for myself, so I would do these things. I would just go out and I would just walk and I would just be wherever I could just to be outside, because I just, like, going home was like a dungeon, you know. I just felt so, so bad.
Yeah.
So I was out in the arts district, you know, and I was going to go get a Bible, and I saw the imprint on the sidewalk. And
so I have, there's like these graffiti. So there's graffiti kind of all around LA of like footprints. And it says, Dear Heart, Why Him? And then heartbrokenanonymous.com. And then 2 footprints. So you saw the footprints.
Yes. Yes. I saw it. Yeah. So I saw it, took a picture, and I had sent it to one of my friends and who had been messaging, you know, back and forth about this whole situation. And, he said, is this a real website? And I said, I don't know. And I looked and I said, wow, it is. And so I saw the meeting and I, hands out, said, I'm going to go. No matter what, I'm going to go. And that's how I found the meeting. And again, you know, I believe in these types of things where you talk and, you know, you share your story. And, you know, I remember now as you saying, like, you know, your friends kind of get tired of you talking about the same thing, or your family is, you know, they kind of get tired of it. But in this kind of setting where you're around other people who are going through the same thing, you know, like, we could talk about this indefinitely. So it was almost kind of serendipitous how it all happened. It almost happened like kind of perfectly. But I think I'm so glad I didn't kind of resort to my default, which is to go home, be away from people, kind of bury my head in the sand and stay away. And I kind of forced myself to be out. And through that, I was able to find the group. And through that, I was able to find more healing and here we are. You know, I'm okay. You know, I can definitely say that I'm okay, and I think that's really what matters.
Oh, I was just going to ask, like, where do you feel like your mindset is now, and like maybe what advice do you have for people going through the same thing?
It's interesting where I'm at now. Like, I think this experience, I learned a lot because I was so, I'm not going to say desperate, but I so wanted a relationship. But through this, I was able to see, oh, okay, this is really what a relationship is about. And I'm able to see that I don't necessarily have to tolerate or accept certain things, and that I have a choice. Am I trying to date? yes and no, you know. I'm not super excited about possibly getting my heart broken again. But I know that I can't not do anything. So some days I'm more hopeful than others. But I think definitely now moving forward, I feel more confident in saying to somebody that I meet, you know, this is what I want, or these are my expectations. And then another thing too, what I learned was, you know, I got to get to know the person first, as much as I can be swept up with my feelings and things. Like, I really want to get to know the person and take my time and really, like, if I could, I always say, I wish I could just date three guys all at the same time. And, you know,
you can do that.
I'm not so wrapped up.
You can do that.
Lauren's always needed a roster.
I wish I could. I just,
I know. I'm not.
It's hard just getting one.
I know. I'm not a roster girl, but it's, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Well, so, I think the reason we wanted to call you is just because this podcast has been such an awesome source for people to like come to for comfort, to make them feel like they're not alone out there. So I feel like them hearing your story, somebody, you know, you go through it at some point in your life, or at least most people do.
Right.
So just to make people feel better if they're in the situation right now. And it's just always good to like know there's somebody else out there that feels just like you. Right.
And your point to get out there instead of staying inside is like so relatable, because I would totally just stay inside and like have a stomach ache and want to like throw up all day. But like forcing yourself to go out there, it led you to Heartbroken Anonymous.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
no, I think it's like you guys are saying, it's important to know that we're not alone. And, nothing is too embarrassing. You know, I think sometimes we might get caught up on that, but I've done the drive-by, the Instagram, the burner calls, the star 60, the star 68, where you block the number, you know, all of that. And, the reason why I do that is because I want to feel like I have some sort of control, even mm-hmm. though somebody's pushed me out. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a relatable feeling. Like people want to feel like they're accepted and approved. And so they'll do things to get that.
Right.
So, and I don't think that's wrong, and no one should be judged for that. So,
well, I love
that's
you.
That's why I share those things.
I love you so much for coming on and doing this. Like, this is probably like the bravest thing anyone could do, because I know you're a little still in it. And I just want to tell you that it means so much to us that you came on, and just help people know that they're not alone. Like Ashley was saying, that's the whole point of Heartbroken Anonymous. So I just want to say thank you, and you mean so much to me.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope this helps. And yeah, no, thanks. And thank you for doing this, because I think a lot of people are kind of craving this kind of outlet, and you provided it.
Way to go, Naz.
Thanks. You're going to make me cry. All right. You're the best. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Hey guys, I need to stop this informative podcast to inform you about something else very special to me. It's about BioClarity. I know that you guys know that I've been using this 3-step acne skincare regimen for a long time to keep my skin acne free. It's been about a year now. BioClarity isn't like traditional acne treatments because it doesn't dry or irritate my skin like other products I've tried. I use the face wash twice a day, and I also use their facial moisturizer as well.
That's right. Acne isn't something that anyone should have to deal with. So I'm happy to say that BioClarity works wonders for all of us. Mm-hmm. It leaves you with happy, healthy skin.
You love the moisturizer.
Love the moisturizer. I love that there's no harsh chemicals, and that it's also cruelty-free product too for us animal lovers. And you just cleanse, treat, and restore. It's that simple.
And it's we were getting great feedback from everybody. And I love hearing the stories of our listeners' skin getting cleared because of BioClarity. If you would like to have the fresh, clear skin that so many have now because of our advice to use BioClarity, go to BioClarity.com. Our listeners are going to get their first month for only $9.95 plus free shipping. That's a $20 savings, and it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you need to enter our code, which is GETIT, G-E-T-I-T. That is BioClarity.com, and enter our code GETIT. All right, let's get back to the show.
I'm like so happy she was like willing to come in and call in, because one of my biggest fears is like starting the support group is I don't want people to think, you know, I want to like use people's stories like for content or anything. No, right. But when I asked her, I was like, this could be a cool thing where we're like helping more people that are even outside of LA. She was like, of course, like it's not about his feelings. It's about mine. And I just feel like she was mm-hmm. so brave to do that.
She was so good. So she was at the Heartbroken Anonymous meeting that I went to. I've only gone to one. Lauren's only gone to one. It's like kind of something I almost feel like it's disrespectful to go to if you aren't currently heartbroken.
Yeah,
it's not, because some people come and just listen. Like I remember one time some girl came who's actually never been in a relationship mm-hmm. and it was like her way of like connecting and seeing what it's like.
Oh.
So I think there's something for everyone to take away.
That's true.
And it's actually so respectful because you're taking the time to listen to someone else that wants someone to listen to them.
That's
you know?
True. Okay.
So yeah, anyone's welcome.
Just,
yeah.
Also when I went, it was like I wasn't sad at the moment, but obviously I had shit to work through because I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, I know. Same.
Wait, Lauren, can you go through your experience? And then I want to hear Ashley's. Eyes.
I went and I was like, I don't know. I have nothing to share. But then the first story someone told, I started crying. They weren't crying. I just started crying. And then, you know, you listen to all these people's stories. Like, yeah, I've been there. Oh, my God. That's the worst feeling. And then it came to me and I talked about my experience when I was dating that guy who had a girlfriend.
The one that... The bachelor guy, the one that she was with
from
when
Paris.
She went on
Paris. So obviously that really fucked me up because I'm still talking about it like years later. But that I cried about, and it was very, very emotional, but really, really cleansing.
That's the thing with heartbreak, though, because even though it was like years later, Lauren, I feel like people don't realize it is somewhat of like a death when someone leaves your life. Yeah. So like, it's always going to hurt a little, you know, but mm-hmm. if you can hear other people and know that, you know, you're not alone, it like helps.
So the person who we just had on was next to me at Heartbroken. And I was like, oh, wow. Like I really shouldn't be talking right now. Like I'm not currently heartbroken. I'm actually like in like a really good place in my life. I was like, but since this is Naz's thing, I will talk about the time that I was heartbroken. And it's interesting because the day that I went to my first meeting was not my first interaction that I had with my big in 2 years, but it was the first time we were planning on seeing each other in 2 years. And I know you guys are probably still like, holy crap, how could she be talking about this guy that she hadn't seen for 2 years? But I don't know. That's kind of like what
the name of the big game.
That's the name of the big game.
Also, the whole point of like what us three try to preach and the whole point of the group and who the woman who just shared her story mm-hmm. is like, you don't need to be embarrassed. If you're 38 and you're in your second relationship, I think the biggest thing that us three hate is when people make other people feel embarrassed for what they're going through in their love life, because everyone's life's different. But anyways,
go ahead. It doesn't matter how long it is or how short.
Yeah.
It
you could have gone on one date with someone and be devastated.
No, totally. Oh, yeah. So it was interesting that I was just dealing with texting him for the first time back and forth and back and forth for a little bit the day of the Heartbroken Anonymous meeting. And I just feel like this was a good time to talk about my big because I haven't really talked about him. Or if we've had those topics of conversation come up, I've kind of breezed by it as if like I was still invested in him. But that hasn't been the case since October. So you guys, wow, I just released myself from my big. And it was funny because at the Heartbroken Anonymous meeting, I was frustrated because he hadn't responded to a text in like 4 hours or something. And I was like crying over, I start bawling because he hadn't responded to my text in 4 hours.
The again, girl next justified. To me.
Also, yeah. I would cry too.
No, again, justified though, if that's what, you know.
No, you know what it was? It wasn't even the text thing. It was like, he called, I missed the call. And then I said, I'll call you back. And then I called him back and he never called back until the next day. But anyway, so I was at the Heartbroken and I was freaking crying and crying about this, about Big. And I was reminiscing on the past and all our times in the past and whatever. Then a couple of days after that meeting, I ended up having dinner with him for the first time, seeing him for the first time in 2 years. And you guys, that wasn't my husband at all anymore. Like, I was totally disillusioned. He had so many incompatibilities.
You were seeing his flaws for the first time.
Yeah, I was seeing his flaws for the first time.
Take us through, when you were sitting down, what was, like, going through your head?
Well, I knew going into it, and so did Lauren and Naz. They were like, you're going to go into this dinner, and you're either going to be like, no, he's, like, the one that you've always thought that he was, or thought he was, or the person you thought he was in your head. That in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're going to be so over him. And it was so crazy because I was so over him. The rose colored glasses were off. We were both in completely different stages of our lives. So I couldn't be like disillusioned by like the fantasy that surrounded him.
I think and also you were very
confident in yourself.
Yeah.
I knew myself was literally the bottom line. Wow. Is that I like knew what I deserved and I knew the kind of relationship and conversation that I wanted to have. And I knew how I wanted the guy to respond to certain things that I said. I just, right. you know, all the stuff when you're on a magical first, when you're on a, not a first date, when you're on a great date where the conversation is flowing, you guys get each other. Mm-hmm. It was like so apparent that we just didn't get each other. Mm-hmm. And I was actually like oddly okay with it. It was so weird when I was driving him home and driving him to his hotel or whatever. I was like, I can't believe this. I'm going to drop him off and this might be the very last time I ever see him.
Wow.
And I'm going to be totally okay with that. I'm like, yeah, I'll probably be really weird for a couple of days. Just like feeling lost and lonely. Like I don't have a backup husband. You know, I don't have someone to fall back on and say like, oh, I'll just marry so-and-so one day if it doesn't work out.
Or someone to just fawn over because sometimes it's just like, you know, bigs are there just so you have someone.
Yeah, like a big fantasy in the back of your head every day it's gone. Exactly.
You know, it's actually the craziest thing. It was the daydreams dying.
Yes.
That was the worst part. I was like, one, I can't daydream about the future with him. And two, I can't even go back and hit rewind in my head and watch our old memories because I'll know that they're not leading to anything.
Wow.
And yeah, it was the death of the daydream that killed me more than anything.
I remember when you called me after that and you were crying.
I had to ignore you for like a whole 48 hours.
Why?
No, you didn't.
No.
You called me.
Oh,
right...
did I call you? I ignored everyone else. That's because.
Oh, you called me literally right after crying.
Yeah.
I called you that night.
Yeah. You called driving home.
You called Lauren and Lauren didn't pick up and you called me.
Oh my God. And what did I sound like?
You were crying, but it was like this weird tear. It was like tears of like you were crying, but you were in this state where you were like, okay with it. But it was so sad that someone, you know, obviously that you cared about or that you thought was going to be your person for so long was no longer.
Yeah.
It was the daydreams you were crying about so hard, so violently hard.
Oh my gosh. I cried so hard the following day. And then he continued to like, it was interesting, ladies, take pointers. I obviously showed no interest in him. And then he continued to call and FaceTime me for a couple weeks.
I remember that. And, how crazy.
And at first I was like, no, like this is it. Like I really was like cold turkey, you know, he's not my person. So why entertain the idea anymore? And then I think that was a little intense for me. So I decided to have a little bit of fun with like the phone calls
off.
And stuff. And then I weaned myself off until this one phone call where he turned me off so much that I was truly like, you know, fuck him.
Yeah.
He like called me to say hi. And then he was completely disinterested in everything
that
I said.
I called to say hi. Hey, I'm just calling to say hi. And she goes, hey, like, so what'd you do
and
today?
What'd you do today?
He was like, nothing.
You were carrying the entire conversation.
I was carrying the entire conversation. And by 10 minutes, he was like, okay, well, I was just calling to say hi. And I was like,
that's it?
No, he was like, or what did he say? He goes, I'm glad I get to hear your voice. And I'm like, well, yeah, you called me. And he was like, I don't know. Now it's been 5 months and I don't remember exactly. But I just remember being so turned off by just how immature he mm-hmm. was, especially as a conversationalist, and how closed off he was, and how
everything was a defense. He would make fun of your voice.
The lack of vulnerability. Oh, yeah. In that phone call, he was like, I'd be like, hello. And he'd be like, hello. And everything was like a mimic back at me. And I was like, your humor is like a 16-year-old. It doesn't fly like these days. Right. I'm not going to be into you because you're making fun of me. Like, right. not in that sense. Anyway, so, and then we hung up, and I figured that I'd hear from him again. I actually haven't, but I also don't have that desire to.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's so weird in this stage we all are with our bigs. I feel like, because Lauren, you're like way past him for like so long now. And then mine, just so you guys know, I know you guys are the people in the group at least that mm-hmm. are like the clueless diehards.
Yeah.
Mine was supposed to come to my birthday, long story short, didn't. And of course, like, you know, deep down, I think it was, I was like living in this world of maybe, where I was like, maybe since he's letting me in his group and I've like met his family and friends, like maybe this is a moment where like he's finally going to meet all my family and friends. But to make a really long story short, it was like the most big from Sex in the City text message I've ever received, or was like actually really such was. A sweet, mushy text message. Like, I can't make it, blah, blah, blah. But like, I bought you these shoes you always wanted. Like, have a great birthday. And I was just like, I fucking hate
it. It was
you.
Exactly word for word the Sex in the City episode when it was her birthday. He sent long stemmed red roses with like a card. And Scarlett was like, that's your grand gesture. And his gift was his quote, grand gesture. But also didn't make you feel good.
Right. Because it was like, obviously I wanted him there. But I also don't think he thought that I wanted him to be there as much as I think.
That's
in my
true.
Head.
Yeah.
Because just so you guys know, I play it off really cool. And I'm always like, no, don't come. Like, it's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I'm slowly weaning off mine, but not ready to let go yet, which I think is okay.
Definitely. I think you need to wean, actually.
I think the most important thing to learn from all, you know, the woman that came on the podcast and shared her story, and even Ashley's story, Lauren's, mine with my big, which I'm still involved with, is like, I think you need to like wake up one day and be fully ready to let go. Because if you're not ready to let go and you do let go and you cut someone off, then you are looking back and you are doing drive-bys and you are. And I think I'm getting there slowly, but I'm not completely there yet. But I think that's okay. And I'm happy with that.
It totally takes time.
It totally takes
time.
And
it also is a spark. A switch goes off.
Yeah.
You need to have the moment and then you need to wean yourself off from the moment.
Right.
I do remember what the conversation went. It was just, it's also a demonstration on how he would never show that he was trying to take initiative. Like, he wanted to talk to me. So I remember him towards the end of our conversation being like, well, it was nice hearing from you. And I go, you called me. And he was like, yeah. Whatever, you know, does it matter? I mean, it was nice hearing your voice.
He didn't want to
like,
acknowledge.
Accept and that, like, you care like, about someone and you felt
exactly.
Someone.
And it was, like, so crazy because if he just would have said, like, well, it was nice hearing your voice, I would have been like, oh, that's so sweet. But it was the fact that, like, he couldn't even admit to, like, having enough feeling for me that he
has a wall up.
That.
So many men, women and men have their wall up, and if they don't knock it down, it's really hard to get in there and meet someone.
So much.
It's crazy.
I also, speaking of that, I definitely think that shutting the door on him, at least having that switch go off, even though I was weaning myself off of it technically when I went to Winter Games, I probably talked to Big like, what, 7, 8, 7, 10 days before I went to do that. But I think because I had kind of been closing those books on him, I was able to move on to someone else. And, well, and that didn't work. It's still
Yeah.
It still has like really opened my whole world.
Dude, the universe to other totally possibilities knows. The universe options. Totally knows.
It's so crazy.
It's mm-hmm. crazy.
Totally.
Anyways, guys, I hope you liked this podcast.
Me too.
It's our first Heartbroken Anonymous episode. I'm obviously hoping to do more, but don't get too excited because I don't want people to come to meetings and think that, you know, they can just come on the podcast and share. But if you're listening and you have a story of being heartbroken and maybe you're not anymore, email us at info@heartbrokenanonymous.com. And if you're in LA and want to come to a meeting, I do them the second Thursday of every month at Open Space LA. And if you want more info on it, Cosmo did an article on it and our website, www.heartbrokenanonymous.com. So yeah, I'd love to know what you guys thought of this.
And as you guys know, I love meet stories and how love came to be with happy couples on like the whole opposite spectrum of it, which we both love. You know, we all love that.
We relate to both.
We do relate to both. If you have somebody who has the most intense, like fairy tale meet story that you think is dynamic enough for a radio show, please email me. Well, actually, just tweet at me. Tweeting is the best for me. I'm able to skim the story. And then if I want it in really in depth, I'll ask you to email me. So tweet me at Ashley Aiko, all of your love stories. And be sure to check out The Story of Us on YouTube with Kinetic Content. Just Google it. The Story of Us. All right. Bye, guys. We love you so much.
Follow us on our social accounts.
Facebook.
At Naz Perez. Join the Facebook group.
Facebook group is lit. Hey, who's our elder this week?
We're not saying elder anymore. I hate when you guys say that.
We already shouted out Millie last week, Lauren.
Yeah, but we're not eldering people because that's Crystalia.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's we can't not elder thing. People. We're not stealing it. We have our clueless family.
Crown diehards.
And we should give a shout out to Shelly.
Yes.
Because Shelly, we met her today, actually, right before we recorded this podcast. And she is such a diehard of us and tweets us all the time.
No, we thought it was Shelly, but it's Shelly.
Yeah, it's Shelly.
Okay. Yeah. I was like,
So Shelly from Chicago, we love you. Thanks for listening. And yeah, bye, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye. I don't get it.
Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Weave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Babes and Babies, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.